Tektopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med mediehuset Ingeniøren, Automatikmessen Automatik, AM Hub, Innovation Center Danmark og IDA Forsikring. Jeg hedder Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Tektopia.
Tektopia. I dag starter Tektopia på toilettet. Jeg skal lige skylle ud her. Grunden til, at jeg starter Tektopia på toilettet, det er, at vi i den her udgave af podcasten skal kigge på kroppens biologiske data, eller rettere sagt på alle de bakterier, som lever på og i vores krop. Det er nemlig sådan, at vores mavesæk, den er fuld af data. Og alt det lærte jeg faktisk af en kvinde for cirka 5 år siden, og hun tog mig ud på et eventyr med mit mikrobiom, som det også hedder.
I'm Jessica Richmond, co-founder and CEO of Ubiome. We sequence the microbiome, which are the bacteria and other organisms that live on and in all of our bodies. We do this to better improve human health. We have a few clinical tests on the market. So our goal is to gather a really large data set of microbiomes. We have the largest data set in the world, almost 250,000 microbiomes. To give you some idea, that's, you know, 10 to 20, maybe 100 times more than the next data set after that, smaller than ours. And we use that data to make these clinical products, also to do partnerships with food and cosmetics companies, and to develop some drug discovery targets.
Ja, når jeg er her på toilettet, så skal jeg også lige vaske mine hænder. Man skal huske at sørge for at holde alle de her bakterier i ave. Man kan også pudse næse, eller man kan rense ører. Og alle de her forskellige steder på kroppen, der finder man forskellige bakteriekulturer. Dem kan man analysere, og så kan de fortælle os noget om vores helbredstilstand. Men skal vi lige få forklaret, hvad mikrobiomet egentlig er for noget?
Great. So the microbiome is actually the name for the space where bacteria and other organisms live in your body. So if you think back to your high school geography class, a biome is an area on the earth, like a jungle or a desert, in which organisms live. So if you live in the rainforest, the biome is the rainforest. You have, you know, birds and plants and snakes and all sorts of things that live in the rainforest. A microbiome is a microbiome. It's a tiny biome. And so if you think about, you know, living inside your nose is a different, very different kind of biome or environment than living on your hand or living on this table or living inside your gut. So a microbiome is the area where these organisms live, but it's also used to refer to the organisms themselves. So the bacteria, the viruses, the fungi, the other eukaryotes that live in that environment. And so it's kind of an interesting thing to think about, that our bodies, which we think of as just our own, are actually a habitat for other organisms to live in. And we're not just human beings, we're this commensal mix of, you know, ourselves, our human cells, and the bacteria that live on and in us, and the other organisms that live on and in us that are beneficial to us in many cases, that synthesize vitamins, that, you know, send out chemicals, secrete chemicals that tell us what to do in a lot of cases, that cause things like food cravings. And there's a lot of really interesting interactions that come from these organisms that are living on.
Firmaet Ubiome, som Jessica Richman er både direktør for og stifter af, de laver altså analyser af dit mikrobiom via postordre. Du kører sådan et testkit på deres website, og så modtager man en æske med vatpinde og reagensglas. Og man kan stikke de her vatpinde i øret, næsen, munden, kønsorganet eller strybe hen over dit brugte toiletpapir, og så bagefter stikke vatpinden i væske i reagensglasset og sende det tilbage til Ubiome. Jeg har været igennem processen 4 gange med mit tarmflora for at finde ud af, hvor mange data og hvad det egentlig er for nogle data, der ligger og rumler rundt i maven på mig. Du synes måske, det lyder mærkeligt, men når Jessica Richman, hun er færdig med at fortælle, hvad man egentlig kan bruge det til, ja, så får du måske også lyst til at prøve.
And as a customer at Ubiome, you can actually explore who is living on or inside your body via mail order.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I said, we have these two. We have consumer products, and then we have clinical products. So on the consumer side, yeah, you buy it on the website. We send you a kit, and you swab yourself. So we have 5 different sites. We have the nose, mouth, skin, gut and genitals. So for the gut, you just swab your toilet paper. It's as not gross as it can be, given what we're dealing with. For the nose, you swab your nose. You stick it in a little tube that we designed and patented. You send it back to us, and then we will tell you what's living there, and we'll tell you how it relates to your diet and lifestyle, and make some recommendations for you on what foods might be beneficial, for example, with the gut microbiome swab, or what might be beneficial. You know, is the probiotic that you got at the health food store last week, is that actually living in your gut right now? And we can tell you it's there or not. And then on the clinical side, we can work with you and your doctor to better understand what condition you have, and then how treatment for that condition affects you over time. So let's say you have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and you have more abdominal pain than other people do, you get bloating, you get, you know, diarrhea and things like that. We can help your doctor identify more what is causing that, you know, whether it's IBS or likely to be something else. And then over time, you know, if your doctor suggests a specific diet, for example, is that diet actually working and making your microbiome better?
Når du biome til modtager min reagenslæs, så gensekventerer de indholdet. Det vil sige, de kortlægger DNA'et i min prøve med en gensekventeringsmaskine. Det er en computer, som kan læse DNA-sammensætningen i biologiske prøver.
So basically what we do is we extract the DNA out of the sample. We use something called precision sequencing, which is something we invented, and we have six issued patents and over 100 that we filed, and precision sequencing is one of the things that we've patented among many. And what we do with precision sequencing is we look for specific marker genes that are markers that almost all bacteria have them. And then we also do something called full metagenomic sequencing, which means we look for everything that's in the sample, and we correlate those two things together in a really unique way. So we get a broad spectrum of everything that's there, but we also get very deep understanding of that specific gene, so we can have like really high specificity. So we extract the DNA, we do this process we call precision sequencing, then, you know, that which involves amplifying certain regions of the DNA. And then we put on a sequencer. If you have a very techie audience, you may have heard about this. It's Illumina is a company that leads the market in sequencers. Our technology is built on their platform. It allows us to sequence the reads that we pulled off, and then basically the sequencer takes the molecular information, and reads off a series of ACTs and Gs. You know, the bases, the DNA base pairs. And then we take those ACTs and Gs, and then we compare them to a proprietary database that we have using some techniques, some of which we patented, some of which are trade secrets, that allow us to figure out which bacteria that is. So if it says ACTG, ACTTT, or whatever, we know that that means the specific bacteria, or the specific virus, or the specific fungi. And then we turn that into a list, we count how many things are on the list, and then we say, okay, that's what you have in your microbiome. And then we've correlated that. The kind of process doesn't stop there, in that, okay, great, you know you have this bacteria, what does that bacteria mean to you? And what we've done is we have a full team whose entire job is to go through the literature and find peer-reviewed studies to say, okay, well, you have this, here's what people know about that bacteria. People know that it's associated with IBS, for example. People know that it's generally negative, it's generally bad for you to have that much of that bacteria, so what can you do to reduce that bacteria? Often that involves feeding other bacteria that then will outcompete it. So we've done a tremendous amount of research. You know, in our smart gut test, we have a couple hundred citations from different studies that we've culled out of all the literature to say, okay, this is what we know, and this is how we know it. So we kind of show our work, and we say, you know, this is how we know what you have, and this is how we know that it's good or bad for you, and what that means, and what you might be able to do to influence it. And then we put all of that on the clinical side. We put it on a test report that follows some regulatory rules about what has to be on it and how it needs to be formatted. On the consumer side, we have kind of an exploration engine where you can go through and you can click through and learn more things about different bacteria. And we also let you transfer from the clinical to the consumer. If you want to do, you have the test report, you can also kind of have an exploration that you can choose to do with the clinical data. So there's a lot of technical stuff that is involved in this, but our passion and our excitement about doing this is taking this new science and turning to something really useful. You can say, yeah, you know, that probiotic isn't working for me, let me try another one. Or, you know, I'm pretty sure I have IBS, let me actually go through and try that diet that my doctor recommended. So the whole point is to really make it actionable sustainable and useful and have a real impact in people's lives.
En test koster omkring 500 kroner, men du tænker måske også, at det her det må være en proces, som er dyr og indviklet. Og hvordan kan det egentlig være, at en lille startup med ganske få ansatte på bare 5 år har mere eller mindre sat sig på det her område?
You're a 5-year-old startup. Yeah. I mean, how is this possible? It sounds really complicated and expensive.
Well, it is really complicated, but we just work really hard. I don't know. We've been doing this for 5 years. We launched in late 2012, and we had a product in the market within 6 months. It was our first consumer product. We just worked really hard. I don't know. I don't have a better explanation for it. So we worked really hard to come out with our first product, and then we used the data from our first product to create these second products. And I think part of what's made it possible for us to do this is this platform approach that we've taken, where we don't just like make one product and say, okay, great, we have our product now. We built a fantastic engine for creating all sorts of data insights from the microbiome. So we have this data set, it's the largest in the world. We take that data, we analyze it in a lot of different ways, and then we're able to get insights that are good on useful for clinical tests, are also useful for other purposes, for some collaborations that we do. And, you know, we can kind of basically leverage the different pieces together, right? So the same data that might be useful, that same paper that we cite as a resource on our SmartGut test to help you understand that specific bacteria, that might lead us to some insight that's useful for a drug discovery target, for example, or might be useful on a consumer level to better understand which food you should be eating. So we've built, one of the disadvantages is we were first, so we have to build a ton of stuff. The advantage then is you have all the stuff and you can take it and use it for a lot of different applications.
UBIOM blev startet af 3 studerende med en crowdfunding-kampagne i 2012 i San Francisco. De fik et relativt lille datasæt fra ganske få kunder til at starte med, men det var nok til, at de kunne udvikle deres første testkit, som gik på en analyse af tarmflora, der både kan fortælle os noget om kostvaner og om sygdomme.
When we started out, we didn't have anything. We were both grad students. I was a PhD student at Oxford, and my co-founder was a PhD student at UCSF. We didn't have anything. We started out with a crowdfunding campaign, and that was how we were able to get our first data set. So, you know, in late 2012, we decided that, you know, we wanted to gather this big data set to learn more about the microbiome, and what better way to do it than to ask people to participate, and we would be the first way that anyone who didn't work in a microbiome research lab could actually have access to this technology. So to our great surprise, you never know when you launch something like this, but to our great surprise, we found that, you know, in 10 weeks, we had over 2,500 people sign up, which meant we had, at that time, the largest microbiome data set in the world, which was 2,500, and now it's, you know, almost 250,000, which is still the largest data set in the world, but much, much bigger. And we were able to take that 2,500 people and that and use the insights from that to create the first product, which is now called Explorer. So yeah, we really started out with nothing, but the great thing about having this data and being able to extract insights from it in different ways is that the more you have, the more you know. Like what we could know with 2,500 is very different than what were the kind of insights we can get now. And we wouldn't have been able to make SmartGut, you know, that very first year, because we just didn't have the data that was necessary to make it.
UBIOM, de sælger til hele verden. Det betyder, at kunderne kan tage resultaterne med til deres læge eller kostvejleder i lande, hvor man måske ikke har adgang til at DNA-sekventere tarmindhold, og så kan de få lagt en plan. Et internationalt datasæt, det fortæller også en masse historier om kostvaner og bakteriekulturer i mange dele af verden. For eksempel, hvordan bakteriekulturen i en amerikansk mave, den forandrer sig permanent, hvis man bor i Japan i en periode og spiser tang hver dag.
I'm really excited about that, because I think that so much of science is sort of America-centric and also, you know, American and European-centric. There are a lot of places in the world that don't have their own national scientific infrastructure at all, so then they only get studied if someone in the US or in Europe or in Canada wants to study them. So that was something I was really passionate about and still am, and I've cared about a lot from the beginning, is this idea that, you know, one of the things crowdsourcing lets you do is to gather data from all over the world. So our data set started out 40% international, because we launched on a platform that, you know, let anyone in the whole world access it. It was amazing that, you know, given it was only in English and we only did marketing in the US, we had this tremendous international response. And what I think that means is that we can provide way more value for other parts of the world than might be true otherwise, and then we can kind of learn things that are true about different human populations and compare them to each other. One of the things I was really shocked to learn, for example, is that, you know, the flu vaccine, for example, is based off of some people in the UK, and that's it. So if you have a flu in Latin America or a flu in Africa or a flu in Asia, the vaccine that you're taking is not based off of your population. And, you know, obviously we aren't in the vaccine business, but just kind of that very America and European centric viewpoint, I think, is a detriment to science. And maybe we can make some efforts to expand that view and to kind of take this international first approach and make sure that there are products that are useful to people in a lot of different places.
Når man har afleveret sin reagensglas via posten hos UBiome, så går der et stykke tid, før man får adgang til sine resultater på et website. Første gang det skete for mig var i 2015, og der blev jeg ærligt talt temmelig forvirret. Mavetarmbakteriernes verden, den var helt ny for mig og egentlig ret svær at forstå. Men det har UBiome arbejdet hårdt på siden, så i dag så er der meget mere hjælp at hente på deres website, så man kan få forklaret, hvad de mange latinske navne på forskellige bakterier de betyder, og hvilken funktion de opfylder i dit mavetarmsystem.
One of the areas that we're working a lot on are recommendations, right? Because the big question people have is, like, well, what do I eat? The number one thing we want to know is, tell me what to eat. So we've added some recommendations. I don't know if you've seen it recently. We've had a lot more recommendations than we had at the beginning, because that was sort of going through the literature and finding these recommendations has been a really big focus. So our goal is exactly that, to tell people what to eat to improve their microbiome, specifically for them, kind of personalized nutrition in that sense, is what supplement to take, like do you need a probiotic or not? You know, this is all on the consumer side. And then how does the food and supplements that you take, are they actually working for you, right? So let's say you hate things that are generally supposed to be good for your microbiome that have, you know, a lot of indigestible fiber. Let's say you hate Jerusalem artichokes and you hate all the kind of like foods that people are supposed to eat prebiotic fiber. You buy some prebiotic fiber at the Whole Foods or at the health food store and you hate it, right? But should you still be eating it? Is it good for your microbiome? We don't know, but we can, as you test, we can tell you, like, is it actually creating the growth of the bacteria that you want in your gut. So the ultimate sort of use case on the consumer side is, you know, I'm trying to improve my microbiome for a variety of different reasons.
Hvis man lider af en kronisk sygdom, så er der måske også grund til at overveje en test hos UBiome. Rigtig mange forskningsresultater tyder på, at der er en sammenhæng mellem visse kroniske sygdomme og det, der foregår i vores tarm.
So I want to be clear from a scientific perspective, causation is not... Correlation is not causation, and causation is difficult to establish, but they're highly associated with the microbiome. So if you look at every condition, it's kind of a laundry list of things. If you look at diabetes, if you look at asthma, if you look at allergies, if you look at cancer, if you look at heart disease, they all have a microbiome component. Whether they're caused by or they're a cause of is not always clear and depends on the condition, but they definitely have a signal that's related in the microbiome. So, you know, one of our hopes is to take this signal and use it in a variety of ways. Is it a target on a clinical test where we say, you know, you're at higher risk of heart disease because you have this specific bacterial profile? Or is it a drug target that maybe we can find something that other companies haven't been able to find because they're not mining the microbiome in the same way that we are. So, our goal is, it's very broad, is to kind of build this big platform that lets us improve human health through this data, whether that's a clinical test or a collaboration of some kind, depends on the target, but we want to do all those things to use the microbiome to improve human life.
Jeg kommer også til at tænke på dataetik og hvem der egentlig ejer de her data. Det er måske en mærkelig tanke at overveje, hvem der har ejendomsretten til data om ens afføring. Men mavetarmkultur er jo en del af min krop, så hvem ejer egentlig mine afføringsdata, når de først er afleveret hos UBiome?
So everyone has access to their own data. That's something we're very clear about from the beginning. So you can download your data that we've, and you can do whatever you want with it. We've had people who are, you know, who are PhDs in bioinformatics. They download their own data. They do their own analysis, and they say, actually, I think it should be this way versus that way. Like we really want to give people the power to do what they want with their own data. We own the data. We don't sell the data to anyone. We use it internally. This is how we make the products that we do, is to, you know, take the data and use it to, you know, understand, for example, what's common in the human gut. And that way that helps us understand, you know, what the healthy ranges are, for example, for in a test like SmartGut. But we own the data and we use it to generate these insights that we then use to make better products, basically.
Eubiome er en slags missing link mellem citizen science og sundhedssektoren. De testkits, som man også kan købe i Danmark, de er vejledende. Men i USA, der har de testkits, som kan teste for livmoderhalskræft og kønssygdomme, og det sker i samarbejde med læger og sundhedssektoren.
On the consumer side, it's a health and wellness product. It's something like a Fitbit for your gut, right? So it's a, you know, designed to people to better monitor their health and wellness. It's not a medical test. On the clinical side, tests are always provided by prescribed by doctors, so they're not available except through a doctor. And that means that, you know, we can give medical information and we can be sure the person has that consultation there. In terms of public health, you know, we're starting to do more outreach in that area, particularly with Smart Jane, because it's a women's health test. HPV infection is causes cervical cancer. It doesn't cause every case of cervical cancer, but it's extremely highly correlated with cervical cancer. And women just don't get screened. You know, in the U.S., 20% of women just do not get well woman exams and don't get screened. And cervical cancer is kind of a perfect screening test in that if it grows very, very slowly. You have a lot of time to detect it, but once you get it, it's really terrible. So basically, you just want to get screened, and then you can. It's easy. It's relatively easy to prevent early, and relatively very dangerous later. So we're doing some outreach to public health and NGOs and other types of organizations to kind of posit this not as an alternative to traditional screen, but a way to bring people into screening who aren't being screened the way that they should.
You also talked about democratizing healthcare.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think is happening part of as a function of people being better informed because of the internet kind of writ large. But it's something we also want to be an active participant in. I mean, I think that, you know, the days of just going to your doctor and, you know, following exactly what they say, and then if they tell you the wrong thing, you don't know any better and you just keep doing it, are just gone, right? And the healthcare system needs to acknowledge that, needs to work with that, and really have this kind of patient first and patient advocacy kind of position. And we've, you know, it's in the DNA, if you will, of our company to take this patient centric, in the same way that we took the citizen science centric approach, and kind of treat people with respect for the knowledge that they have, keep them informed, but also to allow them to interact with the healthcare system and get expert advice when they want it, obviously.
So do you know what is the reaction when people take this data set to their clinicist or?
So it's a good question. It depends on the test. With SmartGut, I think a lot of doctors that are in the U.S., they're functional medicine doctors, or they're doctors that are kind of the doctors that focus on these chronic conditions and taking a holistic point of view. They're very microbiome informed. They read our test report and they say, oh yeah, what about this? Here's this one. Oh, interesting. Your levels are high or low or whatever. And they know what to do with it. For doctors who are more new to this, we have a lot of educational materials. We have medical liaisons on staff who are doctors who will talk to other doctors. We have clinical guidelines for each of the conditions covered on the test, explain what the results mean and how you use them. It's a standardized kind of test report that's designed to be really easy to use for doctors and for patients. So we do a lot of educational efforts, essentially. For Smart Jane, that's also true. Smart Jane's a little easier, I think, for people to understand because everyone knows what to do with an HPV infection and everyone knows what to do with a sexually transmitted disease, so that's very clear. But we add in some additional value by listing risk factors, for example, which aren't available on any other test. So I think the short answer is education. We do a lot of work to educate doctors, and we want to make sure that it's easy to understand and use because we're kind of building on, we're taking the best of the literature, essentially, turning it into a test, and then making it accessible to doctors and their patients.
Når de ikke lige arbejder, så hygger de ansatte hos Eubiome, som er at kortlægge forskellige skøre ting. Det kan være DNA'et på søvn i øjet, eller hvad sker der nu, hvis man kun spiser smør i rigtig lang tid?
So one of our early employees went on this butter diet. She, you know, ate an all-butter diet. There's some adherence of specific ketogenic diets that think this is kind of the way to go. So she tried it out, and it really changed her gut microbiome. Within a few days, it moved from, you know, the sort of a balance of carbohydrate and protein fat digesting bacteria to all fat digesting bacteria, which kind of makes sense. Like, you stop feeding all the other ones and you feed these like crazy and they do it. And we also track the functional metabolic pathways of the bacteria that you have in your gut. So we can say this bacteria has a gene for fat digestion, so we know that that's why that one is increased so radically. So it's really interesting, and people do all kinds of crazy. It's not, I mean, that was one we did internally, but people do all kinds of crazy experiments. They do. Some people take potato starch to help them sleep. We have a blog post up by someone who did that, and you know, kind of the effect. He could see kind of the bloom of bacteria that eat that specific starch, and you could see the change in the microbiome. We've had people take VSL3, which is this sort of common probiotic that's often prescribed by doctors because it's known to be more effective than some other probiotics. And they, VSL3, like, they see radical changes in their microbiome and they see the difference. So yeah, we've done a lot of really, really interesting experiments. Then we do some fun ones just internally because we have a sequencer and we're science geeks. So we sequence some money. We drop things on the floor to see if it would change, you know, like the 5-second rule, like did it change the microbiome? The answer to that one is if it's wet, it changes much more than if it's dry, which kind of makes sense if you think about it, but that was something we didn't know. So yeah, we do all kinds of like, there's also kind of like have sequencer, will travel kind of mindset. My favorite one, which we have, you know, we're still kind of exploring, was the eye crusties study. I think that, so the little eye crusties when you wake up in the morning, like the little, you know, things in your eye, those I think hold the key to all sorts of interesting insights, but there's not a lot of science on it. So we just, you know, we did a little study where we sequenced them and figured out what was in the eye crusty microbiome. And I think it's sort of an interesting citizen science thing to play with, and I think maybe we'll get some interesting insights from it.
En anden sjov ting man kan gøre er at analysere prøver fra folk som har hund eller kat, og så finde ud af hvor mange bakteriekulturer de deler med husdyrene. Det er ikke så få, og det er faktisk en sund ting.
There's some really interesting stuff. So animals, the pets, I would say other mammals who are pets, this probably isn't true of your fish or something, but your cats and your dogs are sort of a reservoir of healthy bacteria. They can be. So people that, for example, have a dog in the home have more similar bacteria to each other than people who don't have a pet in the home. Because essentially the pet carries your microbiome. You know, you kiss the dog, then the dog kisses the other people living in the house, and you're kind of all sharing your microbiome in a beneficial way, actually. So there's some really interesting research done on that, on the similarities between the people and then the similarities between the people and the dog. Yeah, but there's a lot of really interesting research on that subject.
Du har hørt Jessica Richman, der er direktør i og stifter UBiome, fortælle om, hvad man kan lære af sit mikrobiom. Jeg kan kun anbefale at tage en test. Tænk på det som underholdning til de lange vinteraftener, eller som en samtale starter til et middagsselskab. Den virker hver gang. Inden vi forlader toilettet her, så har jeg også modtaget et podkort fra min kollega Anders Høgh Nissen, der laver podcasten Transformator for mediehuset Ingeniøren. Lad os lige lytte til, hvad han har at sige.
Hvor meget vejer egentlig et kilo? Ja, det er et af de spørgsmål, vi stiller i ugens Transformator. Jens Ramskov fortæller, at man hidtil har brugt en cylinder af platin og iridium, som står nede i Paris som en slags standard kilogram, som der så bliver lavet kopier af, men det skal fremover ændres, fordi der er nogle udfordringer ved at have sådan en cylinder standard vægt stående i Paris, som i øvrigt er over 100 år gammel.
Er det måske lidt usmart, at man kun har ét lod i hele verden, der bestemmer et kilogram? Hvad nu, hvis det blev væk? Eller det gik i stykker? Men så vidste vi jo ikke, hvad et kilogram var.
Ja, hør mere om det nye kilogram, og hør også om både Industri 4.0 og overvågning i ugens Transformator.
Du har lyttet til Tektopia, som udkommer hver mandag. Skriv til mig på henrik@tektopia.dk. Kig i arkivet på tektopia.dk. Du kan følge os på Twitter, hvor vi hedder @tektopia.dk. Du kan også deltage i debatten i vores Facebook-gruppe, der hedder Tektopia Backstage. På genhør i næste uge, og må dine bakterier være med dig.
Tektopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med mediehuset Ingeniøren, Automatikmessen Automatik, AM Hub, Innovation Center Danmark og IDA Forsikring. Jeg hedder Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Tektopia.